Get into the music.
Radio X. Welcome to the Evening Show podcast. My name is Gordon Smart and I've got a naughty doggy with me.
Hello, I'm Matt Morgan.
Matt, you're wiggling around a bit there.
I'm dancing right? A little bit because I'm dying for a piss.
So I'm going to string this out a long time.
Damn.
See, in your life, what's the most you've ever needed a pee?
I don't know. I can hold it and then I go through a stage where it's gone. Where did that go?
What have I done if I've got like a stronger bladder now? Have I trained it?
No, it sort of goes somewhere else and then you finally get to a toilet and it's really hard to
push it. I read that it does real damage to your prostate if you hold it in.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm going to have to do is put my finger up your bum.
Just
to check it's okay.
I'd let your dad, which normally would sound really weird, but your dad is a doctor.
Do you know what worries? My dad's got really big hands. And
has
I always think, yeah, it's
has
weird because I've got quite girly little hands.
Sausage fingers.
Big sausage
fingers. Have you ever had a doctor's finger up your bum?
Not yet, no. I've looked forward to it and been let down a couple of times. Have you?
Yep.
Did you have to bring your knees to your chest on your side?
No, you lay on your side in a sort of fetal position and then they use, frankly, not enough lube.
Liberal.
And then they say, there's nothing wrong with you, put your trousers back on.
Yeah.
And hopefully, that's the best outcome.
And that's when you went in about your cough.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't a real doctor. This was in a park.
Right, we've learned loads this week, Matt, and it's all down to you. Thank you very much for coming in. It's been a pleasure
having
you. Jimmy Nesbitt was good crack, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He told a great story about David Cameron and Slash Gordon.
Yeah.
We've had a bit of SAS and survival help as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
We talk about getting old as well, Matt. And as you've just found out, Matt needs a wee. He's already had six in the last hour.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm doing one now.
Unnecessary That was the thing. The unmistakable facial expression.
Yeah. Ah, oh, release.
What about unnecessary automation? That was something else,
wasn't it? No one's really bitten on that, but I was quite passionate about it for about an hour.
Your robot bin.
Yeah. Pointless robot bin.
Times you've been unromantically dumped as well, Matt.
Yes, well, we've all suffered that.
Gym buddies. Well, that is the Evening Show podcast with Matt Morgan for 1 week only. Matt, do you think you'll come back soon?
I'd love to.
It's
I've had
good,
a good time,
it?
Yeah. I like it.
I like the way you fell out with the security guard last night.
Oh, yeah, well, that's just, you know, that was a simmering sort of sexual tension that lasted the week and it came to a head yesterday when I left my pass. Well, I didn't leave my pass. It was around my neck, under my coat.
Yes.
And oh, how we laughed.
You are getting old,
me
aren't
and
you?
Whatever his name is with the beard.
Aidan.
We're going to make love, sir.
This is the Evening Show podcast with the curious Matt Morgan, who builds muscle faster than he grows hair.
Radio X.
The people getting in touch, Matt, to welcome you back. Not just me.
God.
Cloda Kay says, is there a live feed so we can see Matt Morgan's beautiful moon face? Is that right?
Well, there is, isn't there?
I think so.
What are all these cameras and lights for, then?
Yeah, Big Size just giving us the no.
Oh, there isn't?
There isn't. I'm sure we'll at some point release video. But yeah.
I'm trying to do me a good looking face.
You got the haircut for nothing.
We'll take a photo at the end of this, please.
Here's another one. Chris Wilcox Jones. It's good to have Matt Morgan back in the wireless. Thank you, Radio X. Hopefully this won't be the last time either. Pin Pin.
Yes.
What's that all about again?
Well, Pin Pin is a thing that happened to me. Shall I tell you the story?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so when I was coming home from Cub Scouts as a young lad, I think it was actually Scouts, not Cub Scouts. I was coming home and a boy called Darren French was on the stunt pegs of his henchman's bike, and pulled alongside me and wielding a large pin, said pin pin and stuck it in my arm.
Oof.
And as painful as it was, like I've always said, I respected the audacity of the bullying format.
It takes a little bit of doing that, doesn't it? Balance.
It's sort of charioteer.
Yeah. Do you say to me as well that people now have pin pin tattooed on them as well?
They do, yeah. But when people... I told that story, 10, 12 years ago or something. People have had tattoos of pin pin, but I've never said this to them, but it was a long pin. And a lot of the pins are like safety pins.
Yeah.
So I'm raising it now.
You're wrong,
if you've had one of those tattoos, it's the wrong type of pin.
What a lasting legacy, Matt Morgan. Tell you what, that story you told as well before about the NME Awards, that was fantastic. The Russell comeback to Bob Geldof.
Yeah, that was great.
And we've been to a few award ceremonies over the years, Matt, and you write for quite a lot of them as well. So you've written for Russell at the Brits.
Yeah, we haven't done it for ages. But so we wrote, the best one was when me and Russell did the Brits.
Yeah.
Can't remember what year that was. But it was all really weird.
What was it like?
When he was, it was like... Amy Winehouse and Russell, is that sort of, what year was that?
2008, maybe? 2009?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was really good because it was all just such surreal nonsense. Yeah. And they just went, okay, when we sent it over. The worst one was the MTV Music Awards in America when Oh my goodness.
I remember that.
Yeah. So basically we'd written all this script in the same format as the British one,
yeah.
The Brits, and we were like, right, this is funny, this will be all right. And MTV signed off on a lot of it.
Yeah.
There was stuff about George Bush,
remember,
Britney Spears shaving her head and stuff, she was there. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it started, we realised we had completely the wrong tone for the room. And we just ditched everything.
Oh man.
So we were in this little room backstage and we were going, we can't say that. So we had nothing. So we were trying to make stuff up. It was awful.
That's a horrible, horrible feeling.
Yeah. And Britney Spears, there was a really quite brutal joke about Britney Spears, which he didn't do. But when I came, we like, we can't do that. Okay. Came out of the room and she was stood with Slash and they were either side of a monitor reading the joke off the monitor. And it was just, oh no. So she saw it.
She saw it, but didn't have it delivered to her by Russell. Yeah. Oh man. Well, the reason to mention it to you is last night I was at the BAFTAs and I'm just interested to see what you thought. Cause
yeah, well, why? But you, well, I don't understand, you know, what? How did you get invited?
Well, that's a very good question. As I've said many times when you were formerly on the radio, I know where the bodies are buried, Matt.
Ah.
It opens up a lot of invitations for me.
From your time as a journalist, people think, well, better invite him.
Correct, exactly that. Really? But I thought last night, I felt a bit sorry for Joanna Lumley because it was, I don't know, it just didn't click. There weren't a lot of laughs. Like, the only laugh last night was Olivia Colman's speech, which was brilliant. She delivered it superbly. But I just kind of thought, oh, that could have done with Matt Morgan.
Well, I don't know if, I mean, it's hard because mainly, like, I don't know what the BAFTAs is like. I've never been. Yeah. Oh, actually, I have been once and it's quite a cold room.
It is, yeah.
Generally, because it's like industry people.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's sort of like not really tuned into what the presenter's saying. So it's quite a hard gig. Yeah. But yeah, so I didn't see the clip, but I read some of the jokes and what was it like in the room?
There's a joke about Stan and Ollie. That's another fine dress you got me into. And it shot to Kerr Coogan. And he just kind of went, oh, God, that didn't work.
Yeah.
And you just felt the tension in the room was grim. It was tough.
He must not realise he was on camera because, like, you try and support that. You wouldn't want to be the guy who's on camera going, ooh.
Oh, it was tricky. It was tricky. Anyway, I tell you, I've got a good Slash Gordon to share with you, Matt, because you know about the Slash setup, don't you?
So this is famous people you've weaved next
beside.
To.
I've got a good one to tell you in a second.
Okay.
Well, I say good. It's yet another embarrassing experience for me to share with you, Matt. And we'll get your Slash as well if you've got time.
Yeah, I've got one. Because I'm a cubicle man.
Radio X. X.
So if you've never heard this before, right?
Okay, go on.
Slash Gordon's a book I'm writing. Terrible pun. And it's about bumping into famous people in the toilet. And last night...
Writing a book?
I read, yeah. It's like toilet reading. Yeah. Okay. I have now
curated... Pictures or...?
No, just tales. Tales from the toilet. Rock and roll tales from the toilet. That's the subdeck of the book. And I've got about 120 now. So Noel's, for instance, Noel Gallagher's was Brian Ferry.
Right.
And he claims, and you know what Noel's like with stories,
mm-hmm.
He claims he walked off whistling Jealous Guy. I'm not having it. But the stories are really good. Look, some of the Paul McCartney's was brilliant. He was Gordon Ramsay at the same pew.
Right.
And Gordon Ramsay just started swearing at him about vegetarianism. Just thought it was quite good. But last night, right, so I was at the BAFTAs and I went to the bathroom. It was a long seat. You're there for 3 hours or whatever. And I nipped out and I ran into the toilets and they had one of those little sensors that sort of gives you a little splash of water first just to clear the way. And as I stood up at the urinal, that jet came out and soaked my toes. And the bloke next to me. My toes and my... Well, I had shoes on. I wasn't barefoot. And it was Alfonso Cuarón, the director geezer that won all the awards last night. But he thought it was my wee. He thought I'd rushed in and splashed back. And he looked at me and tutted. Went, like that.
That's annoying. Didn't it come out of his urinal as well?
Well, they're quite fancy, the toilets in the Royal Albert Hall.
God, he's got some pressure on him. It came out of my one.
Well, that was my reaction. It's like, what do you think? I've got a power hose here. Unbelievable. Have you got a Slash for me, Matt?
Well, I've really racked my brains for this because I do like to go in the cubicle for these reasons. Because you end up in some... But at Led Zeppelin, when did Led Zeppelin do the O2? That was like,
God, about 10 years ago now.
Yeah, I think it was more than that even.
Yeah.
I was with Noel, so I got into the VIP bit. And Dave Grohl. So I was walking to the toilet and I thought, that's Dave Grohl. At the same time as he sort of started walking with me. And I had long hair at the time. And I think he thought I was someone else. Possibly Eddie Vedder.
Matt Cardle.
Maybe Matt Cardle, someone, right? But he didn't think it was me. He was overly friendly with me, like he already knew me.
Yeah.
Arm around me, oh man, that was amazing. Like, you know, talking about Led Zeppelin. And we come in the toilet together. And then he just goes to the urinal and starts. and he's still got his arm on me. And I was trying, and I was saying, oh, I'm going to go in the cubicle. I'm going to go in the cubicle. And he couldn't hear me because he was so loud and American about Led Zeppelin. So I ended up just stood next to him with his hand on my shoulder while he had a wee and shouted about Led Zeppelin. And I just looked like some weird, I don't know, if you'd have walked into that toilet at that point in time, it looked like the strangest relationship between two long-haired men. And then when he'd done that, he'd finished. I then had to go in the cubicle and he was still talking to me. So he'd never gone, that guy's a bit weird. So, yeah, that's brilliant. My story.
I'll put that in the book, Matt. Thank you very much.
You can have that. Radio
X. We've got Jason Carl Fox in the studio right now. And I should point out that Amelia, who normally disappears after she's read the news faster than anything else on the planet, has stuck around to ask some questions. All right, Foxy.
All right, how's it going?
I'm good. It's really lovely to see you.
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. Likewise. Yeah.
You, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, good. Well,
is that true?
I was a bit jaded earlier. <wasn't I? laughs>
Foxy, you were at the rugby yesterday, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
And did you enjoy yourself?
I had a great time. It was awesome.
Obviously, I was sending you messages saying, I hope England get pumped. And they didn't, sadly. No, they didn't. It was incredible, weren't they?
French did.
Oh, God.
Scottish got pumped, didn't they?
Yes, they did, Foxy. Yes, they did. I knew I shouldn't have invited you in. Anyway, Amelia, Foxy, meet Amelia. Here she is. And Matt over here is up. Now, Matt is a big fan of yours, aren't you, Matt?
Yes, so I am a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
So I should probably tell people, if you don't know who Jason Carl Fox is, 10 years as a Marine, 10 years Special Forces, and the last few years he's joined the media-lovey world. He's a telly presenter now. He's got a lovely fake tan. He's had his teeth fixed.
I haven't. The teeth have not been fixed yet.
No. But it's been going great. SES Who Dares Wins Series 3 we're on now at the moment, isn't it? Is that
Series 4.
Is that Series 4, is it?
Yeah, it's 4. Yeah.
God, it flies by, Foxy. And it finished last night, didn't it? Which I haven't seen, right? And we don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But it's been, I think it's been up there as one of the best.
The figures would suggest that it's the best one to date, yeah. Yeah. And it was good. It looked awesome.
Yeah, so you were in Chile, you were in the Andes.
We were in the Andes, yeah, which is, it's difficult to make that place look bad, to be fair.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, really
I've
good.
Got one question I really need to ask you about this, though. Why do you never do any of the sort of slightly dangerous stunts? Like,
are you serious?
Well, yes, I am serious.
So, I always do dangerous stuff.
Well, you do the ones that look a bit fancy, not the ones that you think, oh, I wouldn't fancy that.
You did the drop, didn't you, where you
dropped?
Yeah,
drop. I did, yeah. Yeah. Let's get you on it.
I mean, like, no problem.
See, they did the drop. Did you see the guy who smashed his back against the rock?
Yeah. It did look pretty sore.
I can't believe he was all right.
I'm talking about the one in the cold water, you know, when Ollie in straight and no
right,
bother
it's
at
not
all.
As bad I'll as tell you drop. What, I did the cold water dip before that.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
Should they edit it out?
Oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like, hang
yeah,
on a minute, my moment, and it's gone.
Why did they edit out?
Because the actual...
Cry.
The no, yeah. I literally had to get pulled out of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was just, it was like that challenge that they did at the very beginning, just it was probably a bit boring, and they wanted to save it for that ice water one, because it was a bit more dramatic.
Mm. What's the worst, Foxy, for you? The Arctic conditions, jungle conditions, or the stuff where you're just... generally dug in a hole?
I don't.
Heat or cold is probably the question I'm asking.
Don't know, difficult. I prefer, maybe the heat. The jungle, I like it all, but the jungle's like that place kills you.
Yeah, just unbearable.
Yeah, it just eats away at you. Everything in the jungle is designed to kill you.
Well, give us an example of how grim that is, you know, when you've been
there's
in the
trees search. There that have like got barbed thorns on. And they just it just grabs at the, I can't tell you what they're called because it's a swear word.
Right.
Obviously, but the word, yeah. Yeah. It's a tree that's not nice. Yeah. You just get wrapped up in it, and then that's it tears you to pieces.
Yeah. So that's the one.
That's a tree. That's you know, it's not even an animal.
Yeah.
That, it just wants to kill you.
And with all those things, what are the ones that you least want to find in the morning when you're waking up? You must have had some pretty bad spider stories. I'm getting to this because I hate spiders.
Spiders. I've been stung by scorpions a fair bit.
Oh. I think I might have heard this.
Yeah.
Did they not just sting you, but sting you somewhere particularly
intimate?
Yeah,
yeah, on the bag, yeah. Yeah.
That can't be good, that. That can't be good.
I always worried for a bit. That's all good.
But Matt, I've always been telling Foxy away from today that you are a massive fan of the old SAS Carry On, aren't you?
Well, I got into it last year from Ed Stafford, you know, Ed, probably.
Yeah. I don't know him that well.
All right.
But I know.
But his shows, really.
Yeah, I've got a mate of mine who knows him, Aldo.
Yeah, but it was more bushcraft than SAS. I wasn't armed or. wasn't, you know. But what it was like going camping.
You disappeared for a couple of days, and I thought you went and just cut yourself off, Matt, but you had a phone.
I had 4G. I was with a mate, and when we ran out of booze, we went to the shop. So
Where was this? Because I can't even get 4G in the centre of London.
This was what do you call it? Lake District.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was 4G. Not everywhere. I mean, it wasn't all smooth sailing.
Sporadic. So, Matt, if you were looking for any kind of tips from Foxy about your new career as a survivalist, what would it be?
Yeah, natural fibres or man-made? Because I'm quite into buying the stuff. I go twice a year, but I buy the stuff constantly.
Yeah, what stuff are you on about?
You know, the clothing.
Okay.
Like polyester, is that bad? Or do you wear wool and, like, natural fibres?
Just a lot of natural fibres are normally really good, but there's some really good man-made stuff now. So, I don't know, it's difficult to say.
That wasn't my question.
Matt, I was going to say, out of all the questions that you were going to ask him, that wasn't the
one. It's something I go round and round on. No, I was going to ask, why did Andy McNab have to blur his face out, and is he kicking himself now that you guys are all famous?
No, I don't. I think that was just his choice, really. That was his prerogative. For us, they didn't want us to blur our faces out. It was a big thing for us. We were like, well, hang on a minute. And then actually, when you look at it, it is better that we don't, although, we do have to be careful.
Right.
Because there's some dodgy people out there that don't like what I used to do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Do you want to go for question two?
My question two is, did you have this is a bit of a child-like question, but is there a suicide pill that you have in case you're captured? And you just
No, there isn't. You've got enough guns on you.
Good question, Matt.
Well, it's the sort of thing. I thought they did. I thought you had a little tooth that opened up and a tablet came out.
It's definitely better than, do you prefer wool or polyester? More from Foxy in just a second. Gordon Smart and Matt Morgan on Radio X playing you The Verve. We've got Foxy in the studio. Foxy, were The Verve on your little iPod shuffle?
Yeah, they were. I love The Verve.
Yes. Some of the tunes were pretty... I remember you taught me through some of the playlist. Did it help? You needed that to relax, I'd imagine, when you've got all that time hanging around waiting to go to fight.
Yeah, it's good to have a varied playlist, yep. Which I did have. You could be, 1 minute Kylie and the next minute Slipknot. So. Yeah.
I should understand Slipknot in war, but yeah. Kylie seems...
Yeah, but you've got to have that contrast.
Yeah.
I think you need it.
I should point out, it's SES, Who Dares Wins Foxy, I think it's more sinister and quite threatening, the fact that you've got a bit of the locomotion before you go. Go on, Matt. Have you? I know you've been studying Foxy very closely for the last week in anticipation for the big meeting.
Yes. I'd like to know, Foxy, do the non-famous ex-Special Forces people, like, look down on you lot who've become celebrities, or do they look up to you lot, or what's the sort of...
I wouldn't have said they look up to us. I think some people agree. Some people are happy. I've got very good mates that are still in, and they're fine. And some people aren't. It's just a personal preference thing, and that's totally fine.
Mm. What's it like becoming a journalist, Foxy? Because that's effectively what you are now, isn't it?
Am I?
Yes, you are.
Yes, great.
Telling stories. I mean, you're seeing things from a completely different way. I mean, I loved Real Narcos, right? Because you're in with a cartel and you were seeing it from a completely different angle. So you'd normally be in the helicopter about to be dropped off, but you're looking at it from the river with the cartel. What felt more dangerous, being on the inside of the cartel or the outside going to fight them?
Probably it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Because obviously the one worry we had when we were with the cartel is actually getting caught up in the crossfire of, security forces coming in, and then we'd have been in the right situation. But because we were in with them, and we weren't, as long as we didn't do anything to annoy them, we were fine.
Yeah.
So
there were hairy moments, though, weren't there, when you were filming that? Because you're not armed, are you, when you're making these programs?
We're not.
Is that, I suppose that's a good thing, I'd imagine, but do you not feel that you need that security?
It's an odd feeling to begin with, but if I'm honest, what use is a gun going to do? It's only got so many bullets, and then there's a lot more people out there that are just going to...
Yeah. Do you keep in touch with these boys when you come back as well?
No.
Do you have any connection with them at all afterwards?
Well, the drug dealers. Well,
you need contacts, Matt.
What you meant, though?
When you're making another series. No, I meant as in...
Oh, the...
You need
there's fixers that we have in, that we're in contact with, but that's, their job is to sort of help production companies or journalists, newsreaders, whoever it is, it's up to them to get stories.
Yeah, not sending Christmas cards to each other.
That's where you're putting yourself as a journalist in the same bracket as that. Yeah. In the bizarre column in The Sun.
Move on, Matt. Move on. Listen, you're in my phone. Naughty doggy Matt Morgan. That's what you used to be. He's a rascal.
You've lost the picture.
Go on, Matt.
Oh, more questions? Let's have a look. I've only had a few here. Let's have a look. Are the SAS still the best special forces in the world?
The British Special Forces are the best special forces in the world, yeah. I was in the Special Boat Service.
Right.
Which is the sister unit, but you work together so much, you're on the same selection. There's, you know, there's a bit of there's a bit of rivalry, healthy, but you work together all the time.
Who else is good, like Mossad and places, people like that?
They're all good in their own right. They're good at what they do.
The British are still the best.
Brits are harder, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
It's good to know that, isn't it?
Is it true that, because I remember reading about the British Army and saying the further north you get, the harder the people are generally. So that's why a lot of Scottish people were in the SAS.
That's why
I'm just trying to give you something back.
He's got two Scottish ex-girlfriends as well.
Really?
Sorry. Five.
Hey.
Foxy, let's save you from that one and say thanks very much for coming in. We should say Battle Scars is out as well at the moment.
Battle
and
Scars
Ollie,
is out.
Your mate from SAS, he's got a book out as well, hasn't he?
Ollie Ollerton, good friend of mine, he's got a book coming out called Breakpoint. There's some awesome stories in there. Actually, I tell his stories better than he does, but the book will be good.
Excellent stuff. Well, listen, Foxy, thanks for SAS Who Dares Win. Series 4 was brilliant. We're looking forward to you really giving some famous people a hard time on the next series, the Showbiz one.
Mate, it looks good.
It's going to be good. Right, thanks very much, Foxy. Gordon Smart standing in for Johnny Vaughan for the next week. Amelia is here on news. All right, Amelia?
I'm good, thank you.
Watch this annoying Matt. Welcome back, Matt.
Hey, thank you.
First welcome of the day.
Yeah, it's nice. I've got to keep doing it.
We're a little bit fragile. We went out last night, Amelia, and I think, why didn't you come with us?
I know, why wasn't I invited?
Well, probably for the best.
I totally ditched my other plans.
We had Jason Fox from SAS Who Dares Wins on the show yesterday. We went out for dinner yesterday. One thing I noticed, Matt, and I don't know if you spotted this, for a man who spent his life trying to sort of blend in, he had the most conspicuous trainers I've ever seen.
Very, very bold,
very garish.
White. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to give him a hard time about his clothes, and I think at some point he might end me.
Yeah, he's quite scary, isn't he? He's lovely. He's like a big bear, really, but he's a big man.
Your questions last night were brilliant.
Yeah?
Just as well you didn't ask them on air.
that thing he told us about where they get dropped in the ocean at night, pitch dark, all hold onto a rope, have to align the rope to a certain place, like east, west or whatever, and then a submarine comes out of nowhere, just comes up, hooks onto the rope, drags them along, and they have to basically fight their way onto the submarine.
Yeah.
And someone just opens a little lid and goes, hello, in the middle of nowhere.
That's definitely the accent as well. Hello, old chap.
Hello, old chap, Matt.
I liked his sound effects for that as well.
Yeah.
So he said, we parachute out. Then we land in the water, splash. But the thing is, well, he said, when he's in the water, right, so it's freezing cold, you're kitted up, you weigh about 20 stone with all the gear on, and then you get your compass out, and you have to work out the direction of the rope, which must be pretty tricky.
Yeah.
Then, when you actually get pulled along by the submarine, you have to grab your mate, otherwise you fall off the back of the submarine, and what happens? You go through the propeller and you're turned into Foxy Mincemeat.
Terrifying. Worst thing, though, all the all the SAS shows and all that, right? The worst thing I always think, I reckon I could kill people, I could be dropped in the ocean, I could do all that stuff, but they have to go to the toilet right next to each other.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that. And also get up really early. That's the sort of stuff.
Is that where you'd struggle?
That's why I think, maybe it's not for me.
Yeah, do you not think he was remarkably relaxed when we were talking about him applying ointment between him and his friend?
Yeah.
I'd struggle with that.
I mean, that's the thing. They have to get so close
socially
to each other.
Yeah. I would have suffered in silence for the entire trip. Proper Scottish style.
Yeah.
Just being grumpy about it. It's funny, we're having dinner last night as well, and you see the effect he has on people. Remember that bloke just wandered over?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't really say anything, just went, yeah, Foxy.
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 Just want to say, yeah.
Yeah.
But he did. I thought, like, if you've, if you've been Special Forces, someone approaches you, you'd be like, hey-ya! The guy just literally came over, took his hand out of his pocket like he could have been holding anything, and then went for a handshake. Foxy didn't flinch.
We were sitting having a drink once about 6 months ago, and little Martin Comston, the actor, was sitting there, and he's really into Krav Maga, like the Israeli martial art. And he was asking Foxy about close combat, and he went, there's not really a science to it. You just pick up the nearest thing, go, wallop. And he like grabbed my phone and like went to hit Martin on the bridge of the nose, and you're thinking, well, that would have been it.
Yeah.
End a little Comston line of duty style. But yeah, he's a fascinating character. Sorry, Amelia, you missed out on this last night.
You could have had, basically, it was just a load of men sitting around a bigger man.
Yeah.
Radio X. Radio X.
Stereophonics, new music from them. Queens of the Stone Age there. I just think of them as newish bands. They're not, really.
No, not, are they? I used to like Caius, which Queens of the Stone Age came out of.
Yeah.
And that was 94, I think, 92, something like that.
Oh, man. So how old are you, Matt?
41.
41. What did you do to celebrate your 4-0?
I didn't do anything from the big 4-0, but I had a party for my 41st. Mm-hmm. The 4-0 was too... I was just like, oh no.
Was it a big deal for you? Because I meet a lot of folk who are like, oh, it's just another birthday. Like Big Si, for instance, he's enjoying a 2-year celebration of his milestone 40th birthday.
Yeah, well, it was weird because it was like, yeah, it was. It was, but it didn't hit me until, because everyone kept saying, yeah. And I was like, oh no, I don't care. But I think it's all right because I've got kids. So yeah. I was like, well, I've had kids. I've got a career.
Yeah.
I don't feel so bad. But then it sort of slowly dawned on me. And then your body starts giving up.
What's the worst thing about being 41? Physically?
I don't know. My back's actually got a bit better, but my back was getting quite bad. Like to the point where it would go, and I'd have to barely be able to walk and have to go home and take muscle relaxers.
Do you make noises when you tie your shoelaces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to wonder why adults did that.
It takes me about 10,
when I pick stuff up.
10 minutes in the morning to get myself moving properly.
Yeah. I think it's having kids though has ruined my back because I'm constantly picking up Lego and dolls and children. I mean, the actual children themselves.
On top of your own dolls that you've got to pick up as well.
God, yeah, no.
Because they're life size. Yeah. Quite expensive from Japan.
Very, very heavy, expensive pieces from Germany that I ordered specially. Well, how old are you?
I'm 38. So not long till I'm 39, so it's on the horizon. It's definitely on the horizon.
Quite young, though.
1980 I was born. I remember once having a conversation with somebody, and I remember my brother had just turned 25, and I thought, quarter century.
Yeah.
He's getting on a bit, isn't he?
Well, I used to think about the year 2000, and I would have been, so I was born in 77, so yeah. I was like 23, something like that.
Yeah.
And I used to think, in the 80s, when I thought about the year 2000, I think, I'm going to be 23, I'll have like 5 kids, married, I mean, I'll be nearly dead.
So I moved to London in 2000, right? And I remember thinking, God, I can't, when were the Olympics announced in 2012? I remember thinking, wow, 22, no, it was a bit further back than that, I think. I remember thinking, I wonder what will be happening in my life. Because at that point, no kids, having a wild life, all the rest of it. And then 2012 is now 7 years ago.
Time is accelerating.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot, actually, so 1990 is 30 years ago now, right? The World Cup 1990. England winning the World Cup in 66 is closer to 1990 than we are now. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't make sense. It's true.
It's true. It's a fact, Matt. I think terrifying. You look good for 41.
Do you?
You're a handsome
My
man.
My beard's gone very grey recently.
Distinguished.
Yeah.
Can you start dyeing it?
Well, I've looked into it and I don't think I can. I'd have to do it through a transition period. Very slowly introduce it. But no, I don't think it looks very realistic.
Like different shades of biscuit, just gradually going from digestive through to... a chocolate hobnob.
You see me in the bathroom with a toothbrush painting my beard.
Oh, I could do my teeth at the same time. You can see my little app.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do it with your beard at the same time.
Yeah. Maybe you should have a little app that tracks your beard colour over the next decade.
The Matt Morgan Dulux different shades of biscuit beard chart.
Your beard's one, well, apart from your little toothpaste problem under there.
Yeah.
That little thing.
I was blonde until I was about 11.
Yes, I was. I was a blonde child.
I'd love to know why that happens. Lack of sunlight, misery.
Yeah, now you just become jaded and dark.
More of this upbeat optimism and Radio X coming up. Oh, Matt, man, we're getting old, aren't we?
Brother? We're not old.
No, we're not.
You're
we
not old. It literally is how you act, how you behave.
Well, I've just showed you an app with my toothbrushing. But
you're
record.
Old, yeah, that's tragic.
I mean, I'm going to get a new app for
when they do like the how old is your heart sort of thing. Like, yeah. If they went through your phone. Yeah. Judging on apps alone, you would come out as a sort of boring 72-year-old man.
Well, also, if I am found after a late night and they need to see how healthy I am, listen, they'll know that the teeth are good.
Yeah, the stats we've got on this guy.
Yeah, Matt, I meant to tell you about this, right? So I've been married now about 17 years.
Right.
That's really going to help, isn't it? And you know what?
It's a big day tomorrow, isn't it? Valentine's Day, and you're flying back tonight. And
what have you got written on your hand, Matt?
Oh, I've got a V that I've written on my hand that when I go home later, I'll turn into the beak of a little bird that I've drawn there. So my wife will never know that I've had to remind myself to get a Valentine's Day thing.
Yeah, well, we need to get that sorted tonight. Can't wait to have dinner for
Why three. Are you... Right, so you're not going to... You wouldn't do that fly home tonight, romantic sort of sweep in?
Well, I once, many moons ago, when my missus was in London before me, right, and I thought I'd surprise her. And I'll tell you what, the last 5 minutes before I turned up at the house...
pretty nerve-wracking experience, that. This is
quite nerve-wracking for the gentleman in the wardrobe.
You know what, though? I was walking up thinking, this could be a disaster. Because There was a bit of a, what I'm going to call a crossover with somebody else from Italy. And I just thought,
hang this, on, what? This,
she was going out with a bloke when we started going out. And
okay.
Well, obviously no longer with him, that, as far as I'm aware.
Glad you cleared that up, because it sounded like you had someone from Italy.
Oh, no. I'm getting myself in a lot of trouble with this.
The reason
I was telling you, though, right, is because I had a friend, similar age, still have a friend, who was together with his partner for a long, long time. They split up, and he thought, right, okay, I could be miserable and unhappy, or I could embrace new technology, go on a new app, and find a new partner immediately. And within, I think, something like 6 hours, he was in a hotel room on an app, and had met a 19-year-old. He was same age as me, so he was 36 at the time.
Wow.
And as he's telling the story, there are lads in the room, like Big Size looking at me right now, just going, what happened?
Everyone's getting slightly worried.
What's the new world like?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was married by the time those dating apps appeared.
For your own good, Matt.
I think it is a very good thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, though, that I'm just not comfortable with, like the use of language, for instance, right? And it does make me sound really old. But I was in a meeting recently, and a girl said to me, that's totes jokes.
No, I'm not having that.
Correct. Honestly,
it's emosh, I've heard.
Can we just have a universal ban on totes? And that nonsense that Scherzinger caused, that shamazing business.
Yeah.
No.
Do you say LOL and stuff like that?
Absolutely not.
LOL's probably about 25 years old now.
It's not good. Also uncomfortable with the emoji. And also, my missus has started using Bitmojis.
You're not uncomfortable with the emoji.
Well,
Alan Partridge tweet earlier.
Yeah.
There was a little, I think it was a little crying face at the end of it. Or
no, it was a sick face, wasn't it? It was a grog, a grog face.
Right, so you'll use them.
Gradually, I'm getting used to them, but it's just not for me.
It's not for me. Yeah. Talking about youth, right? This has come to my attention. It's been going on for a few years now, but it's reached a head in my life. Why are, right, young lads, right, okay, so I remember I started to do skinny jeans towards the end of, I don't know when that was, like 2000 and something, right?
Right.
But kids now wear jeans that are basically leggings.
Yeah.
And they're like, and these aren't just like the sort of arty, weird kids, right, the emo kids or anything.
Yeah.
This is like the little ones who think they're geezers, right? They haven't just got leggings on, they've got handbags. They have like bags.
Yeah, the little bag.
On the side. So like, and these are like, you know, hanging around in groups. These are the ones we're meant to be scared of, and they're dressed as middle-aged women.
Yeah. See, I first saw them in probably in Ibiza and places like that, lads in Manchester.
What, the handbag thing?
Who might have tickets or something like that with them to sell.
It's like a bum bag, but not worn round the waist, round the...
Yeah.
What? I don't like that.
Yeah, it's not right,
Matt.
Does
that make me older?
I'm entirely with you. And also, I'm not happy about the distance between the crotch of the jeans and where the undercarriage really is. What's going on in that gap? What happens in the vacuum there?
And some lads are a bit porky. They're still doing the skinny jeans. You just think, that is, you know, you could be hiding that in a pair of normal jeans. No one would know.
Radio X. Radio X.
I'd like you to join me in celebrating a really special moment here on Radio X.
Some Scottish culture.
This is Scottish culture at its very best. Now, there are famous duos all through comedy and all through music, but nothing quite like Bridge and Alan. Gentlemen, Alan, Duncan Bridge, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much. Hello.
Just like to thank you, first of all, lads, for the huge part you played in my development as a Scotsman. You were heroes to me as a young man. And particularly, Alan, you know, I'd just like to say thanks for when you presented the Clubman of the Year Award at Kinross Colts in 1984 when I was growing up.
Listen, I remember that day so fondly, Gordon, and it's a real pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us on. I mean, it's been a wee while since we've seen each other, right?
How's that? It's been 30-odd years, but I should say that the Scottish folk duo, you're a wonderful musical collaboration, and your 70s late night show, which was legendary the world over.
That's right.
People loved it. It was called A Wee Dram, and it's been recommissioned for ALBA TV, which is a massive thing. So Alan and Duncan Bridge, would you just like to remind perhaps some of our English listeners who may have missed it the first time round, about your unbelievable musical prowess?
Well, we started off, we sort of kicked off our music in 1975 with the great album, I Don't Know Whether to Kill Myself or Go for a Nice Long Walk.
Yes.
And a lot of people talk about it as being, you know, our sort of, you know, that's the sort of legendary record. And then from there on, we went on and we both left and went to different musical paths for a while. And then we came back together and we did By Request, which was in 78. Shall we give him a wee, we'll give him a wee burst or something?
Oh, please do. Obviously, I remember the first time I saw a clip of you was when you were supporting Simon and Garfunkel, you know, so you've played with the greats.
I've played with some brilliant men. I mean, you know, I've got my thing here and the thing. I've got gifts for Eric Clapton.
Aye.
I've got gifts for Tanita Tickerham.
Oh.
I've done some writing for her in the years.
Give us a wee belt, would you, if you don't mind Alan Allen and Duncan Bridge. I'd like to hear a little bit of your magic.
Okay. Hey, new a lassie, I'm bonnie lassie. She's as sweet as the heather in the dell. Well, she's as sweet as the heather, the bonnie purple heather, Mary Mascot's bluebell.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, small.
Very moving.
And then you may remember this one I did for Huey Lewis in the News.
Right.
Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. I'm so happy to be stuck with you. I can see that you're happy to be stuck with me.
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And if you want to go and look them up on one of the streaming sites, you can find some great material in there. Albums include Just Don't Bite It.
That was you know. It's slightly regrettable, that one, Gordon. It was of its time.
It was of its time,
1984. It's considered our blue album.
Yes.
And it's a wee bit rude. And I do a few things in there. I talk about that time I was in the Guinness Book of Records from a willy until I got kicked out of the library. Hello there!
Sorry.
So
what are the plans, lads, for touring this year, then?
Well, we've just started. That's what we're doing here just now. It's great to see you, and it's brilliant to come on the show. But we're doing, we're recording our first album in 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, at last, The Duets. And it's basically with different artists who have been, you know, fans of our music and fans of our stuff. And may have been, you know the carry on. They're fans of your music. So we've got Katie Tunstall. We're doing a wee duet with her. We've got Mel C for the Spice Girls there, you know, and there's a big year for them. They're going way back out on tour. All the mental yins, you've got Mel C in that. You've got the two nations, you've got the mental yins. So we're doing a wee song, a wee duet with her.
Aye.
And a wee thing with Katie, and we're just waiting to hear back from Nile Rodgers.
Oh, sensational. So chic. You knew him back in the day, of course.
I knew him back in the day. I mean, we were there. I mean, we went to live in California. Well, it was 1980. Duncan, Cambridge. Well, we had it on there. It was in California at the time, and then we went across to New York, and we were at Studio 54 and all that with Nile Rodgers, and we hung out a wee bit. Be careful! Didn't he say anything here that you might, you know? So we had a brilliant time, and so you know we've had a very long long career, and with a few breaks.
I
opened up the first members club in Blairgowrie in 1986.
Yes.
And that's been one of a business that's still going well just now. And then 87, we did Dan Summers, which was the first gay man's sex shop. And we had 14 months. 14 months of that. It was of its time.
Matt, I think you might have a connection.
We've had a night out. Yeah, a huge birthday party for Noel Gallagher when he was 50.
That's right, I remember that, Matthew. I remember that. That was quite the party.
Madonna was there.
Madonna was there. I was on the dance floor. I remember this, Matthew. I was on the dance floor, and this was like a whirling dervish, you know, span past me. And I was like, is that Madonna? And he's like, no, it's never Madonna. He said, it looks like a man. I'm like, that, you're joking. I said, you're joking. And then there we are, and it was her.
Huh?
And it wasn't but she had a wig on. She was there incognito for about 5 minutes, and then she was like, no, it's me. Hey, I can't do that.
She danced to Material Girl.
Yes.
She did,
didn't she? I think we'll have another performance from you in just a second, lads. Are you feeling fully fit, and the vocal cords are in good shape, aye?
They're in reasonable shape, thank you, Gordon. Yes, we're feeling good.
Well, the boys are here in their Lyle and Scott. I believe there's a sponsorship deal. It's 40 years, one of the longest lasting sponsorship deals ever, despite some controversy in the 80s. One thing I really want to know from you both is, I think there's quite a lot of rock and roll behaviour in the 70s when you were touring. You must have seen some incredible sights, Mr. Alan Allen.
Oh, Christ. Well, Gordon, it was a crazy time, you know, and we had a lot of fun, you know. I mean, there was this one boy, our tour manager for a couple of years, he was a lot more mental than we ever were, a wee boy, Tam. And there was this one time he was telling me, I'm not seen him for about 30 years, he says to me, there's one time he was making love to twins. And I says, hello there. I says, how did you came? Which one was which? He says, well, our brother's got a moustache. Oh, there you are. There you are, old Tam. So, no, we had a great time, Gordon. I mean, aye. You know, but it's like, it's, you know, there's a sort of, I've always been a gentleman. And
you're a romantic,
up,
aren't
I'm
you?
I'm a romantic. I'm a romantic. I've been brought up nicely. You know, I'm one of six. I've got five sisters. Duncan, I mean, you're one of four bridges. That's you're right. The fourth bridge. Oh, there you go. There you're one of the great. Seven wonders of the world. Oh, I'm so sorry.
One of the things I've noticed, Alan, is you're really good at giving gifts, and that's something I think from a previous era. Often turn up at people's houses bringing lovely gifts. Like my house, you came around, you brought me a wee whiskey and a jumper with my name on the back, which I really love.
We had a wee laugh, had a wee drink, and that's what it's all about.
Great times. Now, you're very good friends with the Cuban Brothers, as we mentioned before. You tour together.
Good guys. I mean, Miguel and Archerio, they're really good pals. You know, we've wrote a few songs for those boys.
Well, I was going to ask you, I'd love it, actually. There's a little treat for me, if you don't mind me asking. Could you just give me a little something you've been rustling up recently?
Duncan's going to use his mouth. He can make...
That's a relief.
He can make music with absolutely anything. So we'll go. This song we wrote for the Cuban Brothers that came out last year. You might recognise this one. Well, there's so much hate going on today, on the right and on the left. You see, we hate our brothers, yes we do, and we hate our own selves. There's even hate going on today between the young folks and the old. And can't you see all this hate is really eating up our very souls? It's why I'm singing now. Hate.
That'll do.
Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
Is that traditional Scottish break? Beatboxing.
That's traditional Scottish beatboxing. I mean, he was one of the very forefront of beatboxing. You know, we were in there, as I was saying earlier, when we first moved to New York, it was 1980. We were in the Bronx, and we were in Fab Five Freddy. We worked with a few of the boys, Grandmaster Flash. Uh-huh. That boy. Sorry. He's not a great guy, but we've worked with him, and we were at the forefront of a lot of these movements, and so we're glad to be here, and it's amazing to be able to come back with people saying hello. You've really we've been a fan of your music, and thank you so much.
It's lovely to see you.
It's great to see you.
It's just lovely to see you, Dad. Bridge and Alan, they are coming back, and I can tell you as well there is a documentary being made about their wonderful musical voyage over the last 40 years. So yes, check that out when it comes. Bridge and Alan, they are back. Go and see them this summer if you get a chance as well. Radio X. Now, Matt, we've been talking about getting old this afternoon, right? And somebody's agreed with you who's been in touch here. We don't have a name, sadly. The mobile number 070. The thing I find strange about the youths is this bizarre fashion of wearing sliders, flip-flops, to those of us of a certain age, with socks. Matt Morgan, burned into my cerebrum.
Well, this
somewhere.
Has backfired on me because there is a picture of me on social media doing that, and it caused like a lot of people to send me messages going, "Oh, why are you wearing flip flops and socks?
Are you German?"
But yeah, no. This is why. When I go around people's houses, right? There's two types of people: shoes off at the door, people, and keep your shoes on.
Well, which department are you in?
At our house,
yeah.
Start off once the carpets have been cleaned and we have a sort of period of like shoes off at the door, yeah. Then that slowly becomes shoes in bed. Right?
Yeah.
When I go around people's house, that's you've got to take shoes off. Yeah. I take a little pair of flip-flops because I'm getting old, my heels hurt walking around on normal floors. So I bring my flip-flops. I can't take my socks off.
Your heels hurt
at the door.
Yeah, walking your heels
just from being on hard floors for an evening.
For anybody who doesn't know Matt Morgan, he's about 11 stone, normal height. How do your heels hurt?
Thank you.
What kind of walking style do you?
I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know if I've got like Donald Trump bone spurs or something going on, but like my heels hurt not straight away, but after an hour of walking around at someone's house going, oh, yeah, nice, you know, moving the kids around, doing whatever, eating, walking around, then I start to go, oh. So I bring my flip-flops, right? But just in my defence, I'm wearing socks because that would look bizarre if I, at the door, they said, oh, yeah, shoes off at the door, and I took off my shoes and socks and put on flip-flops. So that's why. It wasn't a look that I was going for.
I've never considered that before. What's worse, having bare feet around your house or somebody with shoes?
So if you said to someone, shoes off at the door, and they took their shoes and socks off and then walked around your house bare feet, you'd be offended.
Depends on their feet.
Yes, that's very true.
I hadn't really considered this before, Matt. Maybe it's because you've got an unusual walking style. Like you kind of leap like a kangaroo. That's why.
I don't know what it is, but my heels, like they just ache. Yeah. It's an age thing, mate.
You're really reinforcing the hypochondriac thing, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I haven't gone to a doctor about it. I think that's a victory.
I think my dad, the GP, Dr. Dre, as we call
him. Ask him about it.
Well, this is going to be a regular thing. I'm sure he once said, can you give us a scale of your pain with 10 being... You're in absolute agony. And one, what is your ache on the scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, it's like 3, 2, not even, 1 or 2, but that's enough. See, all I'm doing is taking flip-flops with me. I'm not like putting myself in traction or something.
But somebody's picked up on your little handbag conversation as well. Yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about, those totally futile bags that blokes are carrying.
They're man bags.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. So the mobile number 288. Gordon and Matt, the lads with their hands down the front of their pants.
Well, that's been going on for, but now that is, that's been going on for years, right? When you're watching the TV, men putting their hands down their trousers, right? But they do it in the street.
Yeah, you've got the complete solidarity here, though, on the other side of it. The fake handbag around the chest, it irritates me. That's Chris in Warrington. He's getting old and angry and slowly turning into our parents.
See, I think there's probably young people who are like, you know, friends of these people who don't do it. They're just as angry. Yeah. It's not about being old.
I've got one for you, Matt.
Go on.
And this really did boil my blood recently. I met a young person through another job I have, and they said, it's really, really nice to meet you, IRL.
Oh my. They said,
know what that means?
In real life.
In real life.
How do you know what that is?
I know loads of stuff like
that. I thought somebody said, nice to meet you, IRA. And I was like, pardon? That's a bit controversial.
I've been meaning to talk to you.
Yeah. What do you know about my past?
What are you thinking?
But that's in real life. Yeah. I mean, what other kind of parallel universe would we meet? There is only one.
Social media.
Oh, Amelia, don't tell me. Please tell me you've never said.
Do you know what TLDR means?
Too long, didn't read.
Yeah.
Too long, didn't read.
So if you do a big post on social media, like a lot of yours are too long, you should put that. Yeah, too long, didn't read.
See, this is my issue with the social media thing. Everyone's got, just if you don't like it, do. Actually, I really like your stuff on Instagram. It's funny. It's very much like
it. I'm very bad at it. I don't do enough of it.
Which reminds me, thanks, Matt, for posting all the love you've and enjoyment you've had this week on your Instagram page. Not a sausage.
Yeah, because all the pictures, I look weird.
My
failed haircut and beard. I look like standing next to you.
You look so handsome, Matt.
Some young man.
And we've just been discussing in the studio the etiquette involved in visiting somebody's house or having guests at your house, whether or not you should or shouldn't wear your shoes on or shoes off. Matt, you are very much in the department where you like to turn up with your own equipment.
If it's equipment. In Japan, like if you, that's seen as so like dirty to wear outdoor shoes in the house. That's like madness to them.
Have you seen what some Japanese people are getting up to, Matt?
Yes, but like if you notice, they've got impeccable footwear.
Yeah. Amelia, what's your take on this, right? So if you invited me and Matt round, maybe tomorrow night, I don't know. If you invite us round to the house, how would you like us to turn up with our shoes? would you want Matt with his slippers or just
I'd
keep
like
normal
you to be
footwear?
Wearing shoes when you turned up.
Really?
That would be
all right, good, okay. But then in your house, what are we doing?
Whatever you want, whatever you feel comfortable. I'm really relaxed. But I personally would always have to take my shoes off.
All right, so when you're a guest at somebody's house, you have to take your shoes off.
Yeah.
What is the right thing to do? Because you're from the posh end of Birmingham, as we've discovered. So you are, like, you should just always take your shoes off.
Yeah. Well, here's an option, right? The mobile number 456. My partner's Latvian. It's commonplace to be offered slippers when visiting someone's house. So maybe you need a bank
of good.
Pre-selected.
But then, it's like a bowling alley or something. You've got to tell them the size. I went for a period. This is mental. I went for a period. I've just remembered this. So when the carpet's clean and my wife said, you've got to take shoes off at the door. I bought on online a pack of those blue things that you put over your feet when you go to the swimming pool.
Oversoles.
Yeah. bought a massive pack of those, so I can wear whatever shoes I want all around the house. You're she can't touch me for it.
You're a total oversoul.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? Radio
X. Gordon Smart standing in for Johnny Vaughan this week. Matt Morgan is here with me as well. And Jimmy Nesbitt, OBE, the drinking woman's George Clooney.
Correct.
Jimmy, the last time you came in, we had a really good crack and we discussed Slash Gordon, my lowbrow book, my toilet reading book, about awkward encounters with famous people at the bathroom. Do you have a new one to share with us?
Well, the first one I had, no, I think the first one's probably better. I was at Moscow when United beat Chelsea in 2006, I think, I'm not sure, to win Alex Ferguson's second European Cup. I'm sure everyone will remember, particularly the Chelsea fans, when John Terry slipped as he was taking the penalty. Terrible moment for Chelsea. And I went to the party afterwards, and I was in the toilet, and Paul Scholes was there with his small son, who was literally the double of him, just a smaller version of Paul. And I went in, I stood up at the urinal, and the wee lad was in between Paul and me, and Paul, I said, "Oh, Paul, brilliant, I'm so thrilled for you, finally got the medal." And he went, "Oh yeah, I'm delighted, you know, Jimmy." And his son just went, "Yeah, he's delighted, you know, Jimmy." And then I said, "I can't believe your nose is still bleeding." He said, "Yeah, it hasn't stopped bleeding for an hour and a half now." And his wee dad went, "Yeah, it hasn't stopped bleeding for an hour and a half now." And then Paul kind of finished his business and went, "Oh well, see you in there, Jimmy." And the wee lad went, "Yeah, see you in there, Jimmy."
What do people say to you when you find themselves standing next to Jimmy Nesbitt in the toilet? Is there a cold feet reference or something?
Often, I mean, I'm always astonished when people want to take a photo of you when you're in the toilet. You know, do you mind if I have a selfie? Or shake hands the minute they finish their toilet. I mean, it's that thing about selfies I love. I was on the train not long ago, having a snooze on the train, and was woken up by someone wanting to take a photo with me, which I thought was a wee bit rude.
So when people say, "I'm really sorry," well, you're not really sorry, because if you were, you wouldn't ask.
I know, my favourite is when people go to me, "Oh, you're, and I say, "James Nesbitt," and they go, "Yeah, that's right."
Do you ever get mistaken for somebody else? I think you do, don't you?
I do. I've, for years, and I don't quite see it, but for years I've been mistaken for John Hannah.
Yes.
John from, you know, all sorts of films, but he was in...
Four Weddings.
Four Weddings. Yeah. And it's got to the point now where when people say to me, "Oh, God, I loved you in Four Weddings," I always say, "Oh, yeah, Stop All the Clocks. I love that poem. I've never forgotten it." Or then I'll have a chat with him, and then I'll sign James Nesbitt, and they're walking away. They'll look down, they'll look around, they'll go, "Oh, yeah."
The thing is, as an OBE, Jimmy, you do find yourself at some fairly... I want to say the higher echelons of society join you at a lot of these functions.
Very much so.
So I believe you may have bumped into quite a few politicians in your time in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, I did. Actually, I went to Wilderness, you know, that resolutely middle class festival they have somewhere.
Where I've been turned great up. Lobster, Jimmy, isn't it?
Yeah, Abbas. But I was wandering around, and actually I was waiting, to go into the toilet, into one of the cubicles, and I waited there for quite a long time, actually, but there was two big guys standing on either side of me, and eventually the door opened, and the former Prime Minister David Cameron came out, and he kind of did a little nod and a wink, and he looked a bit sheepish and walked away, and I walked into the toilet and I was like, "Oh my."
Radio X. You know, we have to remember that on Valentine's Day there's people who've been dumped recently, right?
That was almost believable, sort of segwaying. Emotion.
Oh God, I've been practicing. And my wife sent me this, and it's funny. It's about someone who's being dumped by his gym buddy, right? So you're being dumped by people, but it's not a relationship thing.
Gotcha. A non-romantic dumping.
Non-romantic dumping. This is the text. "Hey bro, I'm going to start going alone. I don't get the same pumps with some of your workouts like I do alone. I was talking to the big black dude, and it's a lot to do with the fact we've got different body types. I'm just talking about chest and back workouts. Arms, legs and abs are always effing amazing with you." Now that, I mean, that hurts.
Where did your wife find this material, Matt?
I think it's on the internet.
I think it's what the youth call a meme.
I'm thinking about the non-romantic dumping. What else? Yeah, I remember doing a car share many moons ago.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to drive to Edinburgh every day over the Forth Road Bridge, which is quite a tough commute, right? It's a really busy one. Mm. And a friend of mine, somebody who I grew up with, also worked in Edinburgh. So he said, "Well, instead of me getting the bus, why don't I jump in the car with you? That makes sense, doesn't it?" So after 6 months, without putting a single penny of petrol in the tank, stopped doing it. And then his dad came around, knocked on my door and said, can I have that CD back for my son? He's still got it in your car.
Jeez.
I felt like saying, yes, that will be £7,000, please.
How did you dump him, though?
I moved to London. It's quite extreme, wasn't it?
It's quite extreme.
Quite extreme, but it was the only way to solve the problem. You know what we're like? I can't have that proper conversation because it's too awkward.
Yeah, that is. I mean, also, he sort of volunteered himself into your car there.
Yeah, yeah, it didn't work out well for me, that one, did it?
No.
Non-romantic dumping. This is a good one, this, Matt. I like that it's only partly just legs and abs.
Yeah.
Just legs and abs. Get in touch. 83936 at Radio X. We're looking for non-romantic dumping. Where else could this happen, Matt?
I mean, yeah, gyms. Quite bad, but like you have it with when you've got kids and you become friends with parents, or like, so if your kid makes friends with another kid, you're forced to be friends with the parents sometimes. Yeah. Like, we've made some really good friends, I should qualify from this, but if the kids fall out, you're sort of like stuck being friends with, you know. So
tricky.
That I think that,
do you know, here's a good one I've just thought of, is on holiday, you know, when you go on holiday,
friends,
and then after 3 days, you're like, I just can't face seeing them again. Having the same conversation again.
Who was your friend who was on a train and he sort of kept getting on the train at the same time as someone else? And they had a little bromance, would you call it?
I suppose. Yeah. And then you eventually just try and sit in another carriage and then they spot that you've sat in another carriage. What do you do then?
I mean, because that would be the worst chat. Like, are you avoiding me? Because in the romantic context, that's all right. You can sort of cope with it.
Yeah.
But if someone just came up to you and was like, so, I see you're sitting in another carriage.
I like this one, Matt, right? I used to drop a girl home from work who lived near me until she left some head lice in my car. I asked my manager to put me on opposite shifts after that.
That's very strangely worded.
It is, isn't it?
If you've got head lice, there might be some head lice in the car. You can't see them, though. But she left some head lice in the car. As if she carries head lice and she forgot some in his car. There's one here from Connor in Swindon. I had to tell a friend that we couldn't play the game Rainbow Six together anymore because he was bad and I was losing ranks. I went from a high rank to a low rank very quickly.
I care that one.
Yeah.
I get quite wound up with stats and stuff like that. You don't want to spoil your rating.
Yeah,
that,
but it's like playing squash with someone. If they're not as, you know, like, say you start playing squash with someone.
Is that when you're not building muscle?
Yes, exactly. Well, I've played squash with my brother and he was two. It's one of the hardest games on earth, isn't it?
It's squash. Tough.
But like, yeah, you start to, and then maybe you outgrow your partner, and then you find someone else. I mean, that must be awkward.
That is awkward, yeah. You want to move on, but the person's holding you back. And you need to, that's grim.
I mean, yeah.
And I've just thought of one, Matt, right?
Go on.
My Chinese restaurant in Kinross, where I live, at the weekends. Pete Chan, long-term friend, lovely guy, he's been kind to me over the years. In my absence, coming to London, my wife has migrated to Sunrise, a little bit further down. That's a problem. It's a big problem for me. If Pete finds out, and I think he might do now, that's going to cause real trouble for me.
The worst problem is that you say, I live at weekends.
I do.
Your wife might have a problem with that.
I do.
Where I live, at weekends.
But I'm only there at weekends, man.
I know, but yeah.
Non-romantic.
Yeah, that's
dumping.
Bad.
It is, isn't it? Do you think that's bad form? Should you stay loyal?
No. You've got to move, haven't you? It's just, I mean, I think you should probably clear things up.
Yeah.
If you have the chat first, if you say like, oh, look, you know, this is, we found some better food, or we just want to try new things. Actually, you can use all the cliches from romantic dumping.
You can't you?
It's me.
I just thought of another one.
Yeah.
Russell Brand. You join me?
Huh?
You're on this show.
Oh, God, yeah.
You got another one for me, Matt?
Yeah. No, I'm sure he's all right about it.
Yeah,
I'll text him.
Yeah, text him.
The kids next door stopped talking to our daughter. Naturally, we stopped talking to their parents. Haven't spoken for 3 years now. And then, this is the weird bit. He says, I won't hear this if you read it out, so text me, please. I've got to turn off the radio while I have tea with the missus. I don't know how he thinks radio works. But I feel really compelled to text him and go, thanks for that, we read it out.
Non-romantic dumping. I'd been going to the same barber for 10 years until about 2 years ago, a new barber shop opened 3 doors down. What makes it worse? I have to walk past the original barbers to get to and from my new barber. But hey, the new barber offers a beer with every cut. Joe in Aldershot.
I don't think that's that bad because they've opened so close and then they're offering beer.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been an exodus of people. I think he's been lost in the mix there.
Well, do you think when the beer stops, Joe and Aldershot will return? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I've had stuff in the hairdressers where they go, have you been here before?
Yeah.
And then I can't remember the name. You're meant to sort of stay loyal to the person who cut your hair last time. And I say, oh, I can't remember. And then it's on the system. You know that?
Yeah.
And so I'll go, no, I don't care. No, I don't think I've been here before or whatever. And then they go, and actually, you saw me last time. And you go, oh, yeah. No, I don't like that system.
And then they give you a deliberately bad haircut. Is that what you said?
Well, if that's what it looks like, mate. You didn't have to break it to me like that.
Amelia, did you mention to me that your mum has a bit of a loyalty issue with supermarkets?
Yeah, my mum threw a massive diva strop in the middle of Tesco and unceremoniously dumped it. It was like, I'm going to Sainsbury's! I just had a meltdown and completely dumped the whole supermarket.
So posh, aren't we?
Yeah.
So posh. Little. Speaking of posh, little Simon has sacked and left, dumped.
I haven't sacked!
He's sacked. He has
simply moved on.
He has, yes, he has removed himself from his tennis coach. And you know the real thing about this? It was real tennis. Not normal tennis. You know the one where they hit it on the roof of a building?
Yeah. Like, so he's changed tennis coaches, but to another coach who's at the same place. Yeah. How did that work?
It's a bit awkward, if I'm honest.
What's the new chap called, Simon?
Miguel.
Oh. It's all making sense now, isn't it?
And how does Alfonso feel about that?
I'm sure they can play him at doubles.
Here's another one for you. After about 10 years, I've changed paint supplier. This is brilliantness. From Crown to Dulux. They share the same car park in Wigan. And the workers from Crown that I got along with so well see me heading over to Dulux. And it kills me.
Andy the painter.
That's Andy the painter. That's good on you, Andy.
I was thinking, actually, I come out of my station, right?
Yeah.
At my train station. And normally, I used to just get black cab because that's what you did, right? Yeah, yeah. But then since the advent of, can we mention them, Uber, I now get an Uber, right? But sometimes if it takes too long, I'll go to the black cabs. Mm. And then I generally end up having the chat in the black cab of like, Uber, because that's what they all want to talk about. Like, see these people coming out of the station waiting for their Ubers. Look, I'm right, idiots. I'm like, yeah, I know. And then the next day, I stand there surreptitiously ordering an Uber. And sometimes there's some eye contact.
You've opened a can of worms there, Matt.
That is, I mean, that is. I
listen,
mean,
I am strictly black cab only, all the way. Yeah, because when you are in a pickle in the middle of the night, I tend to find that the black cabs rescue me without any kind of problem with the state I'm in.
Yeah, and I love. If there isn't one around,
I'll wait.
This is some loyalty you haven't shown to Chinese restaurants. I think there's more to this story. Radio
X. I started to get a little bit worried, Matt, because I thought I might have been poking the hornet's nest by annoying Russell Brand by making a reference to a non-romantic dumping. It's not a dumping. I'm just having an affair with you, haven't I?
It's a brief, what do you call it? Yeah, affair.
A liaison.
It's just a week-long thing.
It's a fling.
I texted him.
Did you?
I texted him. I said, I'm doing Gordon's show on Radio X this week. We're on air now. Do you feel I've cheated on you? Are you all right with me seeing other presenters? He said, other than being in the presenter category, yes, give him a big kiss from me. Or a nod, perhaps. Safer.
Yes. I think we'll take that one.
About it.
6 hours later, you're going to get another message from him going, is this going to be a regular thing? What are you doing with him? That's my impression. Do you think it's good?
No, it was terrible.
I used to like you when you did your impressions, Matt. You're really good at impressions.
Well, I can't do them anymore. I've forgotten a lot of them. I used to be able to do your voice.
Go on, give it a spin.
Give us a sentence.
My name is Gordon Smart and I am from the north.
My name is Gordon Smart and I am from the north.
It's not bad at all. It's
bad radio, really.
Radio X. Matt, you've got that simmering rage about you now. It's 5 to 6 on a Thursday night. What's up?
Oh, you want me to get into the things that annoy me about the modern world?
Well, I thought that was what you might be about to tell me, because you look like you had that. I'm about to punch you in the head, Luke.
Yes, well, I'll try and keep a lid on that. But talking of lids, something that's annoying me, right? Unnecessary inventions, automations that don't need to be done, right? I've got this bin at home.
Right.
With it's not even touch sensitive. You wave your hand over it and it opens.
Yeah.
It goes like that. So you're holding a hot tea
bag. What's it do?
So it goes like it's like, I told my kids it was a robot. Which has backfired, right? Anyway, you're holding a hot tea bag or something, but you have to, it's almost like, you're meant to just hold your hand near the bin and it opens, but it doesn't. There's like one place where it'll open it, right? So it's completely frustrating. Or you can press the tiniest button and it'll open, and then press another button to close it. So it's like, it has not, It's done nothing. It
hasn't
saved time.
The operation of the bin setup.
The bin
setup.
Used to be, you could bang it, it would open. You know, like the touch, like pressure down. And it opens, right? So bang it, chuck stuff in it. You can't do that now. It's like so frustrating. It's also really thin. But the worst thing is, when I shout at it, because I told the kids it was a robot, so what I did is I opened it, and then I'd go, bin, close, and it doesn't. It's not voice activated, but they believed it. They started, now I've personified it as a sort of robot. And when I go, oh, this bin, I hate this bin, lose my temper. Leave him alone. Generally speaking, doing his best.
Generally speaking, lying to the kids isn't a great thing.
No, that's backfired. But like, no, things that like modern things that have been made too modern, they don't need to be like that.
I lied to the kids on this one because I said if you wave your foot underneath the bumper at the back of the car, the boot opens. But I've got the key in my pocket.
Right.
And Jimmy thinks, my son thinks I'm magical. He thinks I've got some kind of power, voodoo power, because he can't get it to work. And I'm like, mate, listen, you need to move
That's
your
such
feet.
Such a dad thing. So dad.
Are you just adding to this boring dad image? Radio X. Matt Morgan is here. We're standing in for Johnny Vaughan. And you're giving me a bit of a rough ride to start off, Matt.
I think. You know.
That's what I brought you in.
It's got to push you.
Right. Well, look, you told me a porky pie this week that I'm about to expose.
Yeah, this is controversial, isn't it?
Can you please remind Matt Morgan that despite claiming he didn't do anything for his 40th birthday, we all recall that, he actually went to an amazing party. You talked about humble brag, right? You went to an amazing party thrown by the formidable Matt Morgan Appreciation Society. There was cake, banners, bunting, videos made in his honour. He was showered in presents and appreciated a lot. So much so, he's forgotten all about it. Thanks, that's Laura. She is a Matt Morgan Appreciation Society member present at that party, Matt. So, you called it a humble brag with me earlier on. You attended a party in your honour.
I know.
Would you wear some kind of crown?
There may have been a crown at some point. It was actually amazing and it was really nice to meet them. I don't know why I've forgotten. The only thing, what I'm going to say is I thought that was my 39th.
Well, there's one every year, I suppose.
But what I was thinking was, I didn't do anything like with my wife or like family for my 40th. I think we just went for dinner. I can't remember.
You just celebrated you.
But I love the way that's dripping in sort of passive aggression.
Matt, talk me through this evening more, right? So how long does the Matt Morgan Appreciation Society birthday dinner last?
It was quite a, I don't know, Russell came, G came from the old radio show.
Yep.
I think we got there like 7 p.m. I probably left there about 11.
Did you have to do some kind of performance? Was there
there was a sort of stage element where we were on stage talking.
Yeah.
And no, it was lovely, honestly. But people remember catchphrases and stuff that I said a long time ago that I don't even remember.
Right.
So that was, they probably thought, why doesn't he remember all this stuff?
Did you sign stuff? Did you sign do selfies?
Stuff, photos, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. What kind of catering did they put on for you, Matt?
There was a cake with a sort of, you know, little version of me on it. There's all sorts of stuff. Leave with a bag full of presents. I'm sorry, I've forgotten it all. I was actually drunk. That was the only way I could cope with it.
Okay. Was it a little hairy Matt Morgan or was it shaved, neat Matt Morgan?
I think it was old-fashioned, long-haired Matt Morgan. No.
I want to see pictures of this.
My children ate him. Don't know what that means.
Matt Morgan in the studio telling us more lies about what he gets up to.
I've annoyed my wife now.
You have really.
I got a text. We went to Croatia for your birthday. Simply that.
Radio X. Matt, we've been sent a message here. Quick, my girlfriend's picking me up from work at 7 and I need to think of something to write in a card. You're a professional, right? Have you got anything up your sleeve?
No, frankly, but I would say put some lipstick on and kiss the card because that always works, doesn't it?
That's a nice gesture, isn't it? Does that work, Amelia?
She looks confused.
What, a guy kisses it with lipstick on?
Come on, big 2019.
Couple of whiskers in there as well, just for extra effect.
No, write something, you know, meaningful that's from your relationship. My Katie, my wife, was going through her what we call memory box.
Aww.
You know, things there. And there's loads of Valentine's cards in there and birthday cards. And I seen what's disturbing was, like a psycho, I've written the same thing in almost all of them. There was like massive patterns throughout. And generally I'm saying sorry and thank you. Those two romantic things.
All the best love is based on those two words. I'm going to tell you a really embarrassing story. And before I change my mind, let's get on with it. In 1998, I had a reserve Valentine's card blank in case, you know, just in case. Yes. And there'd been a little bit of sort of to and fro with me and my wife. Right. And anyway, we went to this party and my brother very kindly offered to give us a lift back to her house. And I'm in the back of the car And I thought, I better scribble out a message here. Now,
so he had an emergency Valentine's card on
case, on Valentine's Day, just in
oh,
case.
Oh, on the day, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So me and Kate
was all scrambled up, like those condoms in your wallet.
It wasn't a great card, right? But when I was 15, I got a French dictionary, right? And there was a little section in the middle with helpful phrases. And I memorized one of them. And the phrase was, l'azur du ciel est moins beau que le bleu de tes yeux. That is, the blue of the sky is less beautiful than the blue of your eyes.
What a weird kid you were.
But I thought, that's going to come in handy. Bearing in mind, as I've mentioned to you, I went on some French exchange trips, right? So I memorised it thinking, what a romantic, I'm in here, oui je t'aime, all that carry on. And by the way, when I was a 15 and 16 year old lad in France, it worked out quite well.
What was the saying again?
Out of pity.
That's weird that you can remember that.
L'azur du ciel, the blue of the sky, et moins beau is less beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the accent's terrible.
Et moins beau, you throw me. L'azur du ciel, et moins beau que le bleu de tes yeux. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that
bad.
Was it. So I scribbled that badly as my brother's doing about 800 miles an hour on a Renault Clio on a country road. I've written it like a 6-year-old with a crayon.
So she doesn't know that that was a reserve.
Well.
Sort of communal Valentine's card.
Here are the problems. One, she's got grey eyes. Ish, sort of grey, bluey, hazel eyes.
Right.
So it doesn't really work. Fortunately, her attention span in French lessons wasn't as good as mine, so I got away with that one.
Yeah.
Secondly, the card was dreadful. It was like, you know, like a sympathy card.
But in those days, that was before like Google Translate. She couldn't have. How would she have worked it out?
Well,
she probably just went, "Oh, thanks."
She thought it was an incredibly romantic gesture. She's from Fife in Scotland. You know.
Yeah.
It was incredible that I could speak in my second tongue. Anyway, we've been together. That was the first time we really, you know, copped off, if you want to call it in a sort of 80s, 90s way.
Okay. And romance is plummeting.
21 years, two children later, thank you very much.
There
it
you
worked.
Go. All in one French phrase that he's going to get tattooed all up his back.
So the mobile number 739. Right, I'm going to spell it to you. L'azur du ciel et moins beau que le bleu de tes yeux. And you'll have a lovely night tonight, my friend. What would you reckon, Matt?
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, yeah. Oh, dear. You're meant to be a comedy writer for a living. You must have something for a card.
No, because you don't want to make a joke in a Valentine's Day card, do you? That's when you want to be serious.
It's good advice, Matt Morgan. It's good advice. Radio X. That was our podcast, me and Matt Morgan. You've learned lots there. Please tell your friends about it. Go and do that woohoo American thing.
Woohoo! Yeah, guys!
Some energy.
Right, I hope you enjoyed the Evening Show podcast. Hopefully at some point in the future we'll have Matt Morgan back.
Yeah, if you want me back, then follow me on Instagram, where I'll be plugging products from now on.
Thanks, Matt, for this week.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. Cheers, I've enjoyed it. Radio X.